Chapter 14. Saturday, 5:52 p.m. 17-year-old guy with a 14-year-old girl. Creepy, but not an uncommon situation. Lucy sighed, remembering her first serious boyfriend, 17 to her 15. Here in Pennsylvania, it could still technically be rape since there was more than 2 years difference in age. As long as Ashley wasn't coerced, then it was definitely rape. If any sexual activity occurred, if Ashley was with Fagley, if she was alive. Still, it was the best lead they had, even if it did mean Burroughs was right and she'd been wrong about Ashley. Better wrong than have a dead kid on her hands. But how did Ashley's watch end up with Noreen's corpse? Could she and Fagley have killed together? Thrill-seeking, loving the planning, the anticipation, never seeing Noreen as real, as a person, just an object to satisfy their needs. Lucy scissored her jaw, breaking the tension, popping the ligaments until they crackled. Had she built up such a fantasy about Ashley being the pitiful, unloved teen that she'd blinded herself to the facts? If so, maybe she should listen to her boss and stick to her office and desk. Get off the streets. She took advantage of the privacy to call home. Megan and Nick were watching football, assuring her that other than Pitt being down by 12, everything was fine. She wanted to ask Nick for advice, but didn't have the heart to interrupt their daughter-father bonding. Although she felt a little jealous that he was the one doing the bonding instead of her. Okay, maybe more than a little jealous. Mostly, she wanted her little girl back. The perfume of no more tears. The singing together in the car, heads rocking, palms drumming. The pride that filled Megan's eyes every time she introduced her mother, the FBI agent. Those times were long gone. Maybe forever. Next, she dialed her mom. She used the speakerphone, hating the hands-free ear thingy that looked like something out of Star Trek. "Lucy, I thought you were working. Did you find that little girl?" Coletta Guardino answered. "Not yet, but I've got a lead. Nick said you were going out tonight?" Silence. Lucy squirmed, adjusted her rearview mirror. More silence. "Mom, I'm not prying. Your father has been gone for 25 years. Don't I have the right to make friends? Find some happiness?" Guilt settled down on Lucy's shoulders like a worn-out shawl. Make that a hand-crocheted, labor of love, fingers bleeding from being pricked and worked to the bone, worn-out shawl. "Mom, you are the happiest person I know. You're so happy you wear people out. Between bridge and bingo and St. Vincent's and helping at the shelter and the library and your book club..." "I know, I know." An exasperated sigh vibrated through the cell phone. "But this is different. This is someone who's interested in me. Just me. As a person. Tell me about him. What's he do? How'd you meet?" Lucy tried to keep her tone casual. Was her mother really dumb enough to meet a guy on the internet? Knowing what Lucy did for a living? The kind of predator she hunted? "He's the sweetest man. Charlie, that's his name. He's 61, and he lost his wife to cancer 3 years ago. "Go on. Charlie, does he have a last name?" "He does. Mom." Lucy drew the syllable out, very aware she sounded just like Megan, but not caring. "Once I told Charlie what you do for a living, he said you'd want to run a background check or something. He even gave me all the information you'd need to do it. Said people these days couldn't be too careful." "Great. Give me the info and I'll take care of everything for you."
"No.
I trust him. That's good enough for me."
"Not for me. Come on, Mom. You're smarter than this."
"I didn't need any background check on your father when I met him. I used my own good judgment, followed my heart." "This..." She almost said creep, but hastily bit the word back. "Man isn't dad. And times have changed. A woman in your position can't risk..." A woman in my position can't risk wasting any time. I'll see you tomorrow. Love you. The dial tone echoed through the car. Lucy stabbed the end button and cranked up the radio. Metallica. King Nothing. Perfect. She drummed her wedding band against the steering wheel, wishing she could bang her head instead of wondering how many 61-year-old white males, first name Charles, lived in southwestern PA, and what the odds were that she could track down the right one before tonight. Jimmy's heart staggered as he watched Ashley slice into her own flesh. He jumped up, toppling his chair, ready to run to her, save her. No. Follow the plan. She has to see that she's powerless. She must surrender. He righted the chair, sat back in front of the computer, hypnotized. Ashley was mixing her blood with water, smearing it below the leash. He heard her grunts of frustration as she tugged and yanked on the metal cable, trying to force it over her ankle joint. After a good half hour, she finally collapsed, hugging the support beam as if it were a lost lover. She didn't cry like she had earlier. Instead, she was talking to an unseen presence in the darkness. Please, please help me. She was calling to him, for him. Jimmy stroked his fingers across the image of her face as she pleaded. Yes, Ashley, I'll save you. Step 3, almost complete. Next came step 4, offer a new reality.